that's lazy, running for my own life now. I'm really turning some time, looking up to the sky for something I may never find. Stop calling, it's time to let me be. If you think you can save me, I dare you to try. Let me in if I break and be quiet if I shatter. Get tired of looking, you know that I hate the game. Don't wanna waste any more time, you know I've been holding on. Love is
okay. This one's called Stella Was a Diver and She's Always Down.
Hello again, this is Nat,
and this is Bridget,
and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Oh wait, can you say it's Bridget again?
Oh, this is Bridget, hello.
Okay, I think it should work. I think everything should be working. You know what, I'm not an expert at anything, but no matter, because today is special because Bridget is on the air. And Bridget has prepared some things to share and thoughts to have, and I'm so excited because one thing I love to do is think and listen to music, and Bridget loves to think. And
sometimes I like to listen to music.
Yeah.
In between thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I need a little break.
No, to like marinate the thoughts, to have a soundtrack to it all.
Exactly.
Okay, wait, can you talk one more time?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Cool. Just making sure everyone is being heard and listened to.
Hello, listeners.
All right. So yeah, today is special and unique. We are going to be playing some songs from Ladies from the Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
and yeah, Bridget, what are some of your thoughts? I am so McFreaking curious.
Oh my gosh. I'm so McFreaking excited to share them with
you.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to get on air not so much to play music, so much as to talk with a lot of my good friends about the artistic avenues that they are in pursuit of. So I wanted to gather up a bunch of my friends who are usually two at a time, I think, who are working in kind of the same medium, be it like metalworks, be it film, be it pottery, be it cooking, any type of art, craft, or creative endeavor, and put them together to talk about their different paths of finding the means and their artistic process with their particular medium. I was kind of talking to somebody and I realized that, you know, I've always considered myself somewhat artistically inclined and been, you know, pushed towards hanging out with creative people, but I've never found my particular medium. And I think I'd like to chat with, you know, all my different friends who I find very dear, who have found spaces for themselves and places where they can pursue their artistic practices, bring them into community with each other so that they can, you know, talk about, outline, further their own projects, speak to each other, create a little bit of community, and then selfishly for my own self, kind of get a better idea of what it is that I might do, what I might pursue. And I also think, you know, these are all kind of college students. They're all 20-something-year-old kids trying to figure out how to do this more practically in the adult world once we get catapulted off campus. And so I think it would be a good time and a good space for everybody to find, you know, collective means of getting places together, you know. What's that thing? If you want to go fast, go by yourself. And if you want to go far, go together. Yeah, that's pretty much the idea. I wrote a lot of stuff about it yesterday, but, you know, pretty briefly, that's the idea. So maybe we listen to a song and then I can give some more thoughts after that.
This sounds epic, both conceptually and for the present. I can play Jesus Was a Crossmaker by Judy Sill.
Yeah.
And excited to talk more about this after the song.
Let's hear it.
Our angels
of
the sea, please come down high and low for me. One time I trusted a stranger because I heard his sweet song, and it was gently enticing me, though there was something wrong. But when I turned, he was gone, blinding me. His son remains, reminding me he's abandoned and a heartbreaker. Oh, but Jesus was a crossmaker, sweet silver angels over the sea. Please come down, fly and low for me. He wages war with the devil, a pistol by his side. And though he chases him out windows and won't give him a place to hide, he keeps his door open wide. Fighting him, he lights a lamp. In fighting him, he's a bandit and a heartbreaker. Oh, but Jesus was a crossmaker, sweet silver angels over the sea. Down, fly and blow for me. I hear the thunder come rumbling, the light never looks so dim. I see the junction get nearer, and danger is in the wind, and either rose looking green. I'm a hiding me, a flea desire dividing me. One time I trusted a stranger because I heard his sweet song, and it was gently enticing me, though there was something wrong. But when I turned, he was gone, blinding me. His song remains, reminding me he's abandoned and a heartbreaker. Oh, but Jesus was a crossmaker. Jesus was a crossmaker. Yes, Jesus was a crossmaker. Oh.
Okay, that was Jesus Was a Crossmaker. Let me get the microphones on challenge. Okay, all good. So why don't we get into some like artistic medium lore?
Yeah.
We were just talking off air about collages.
Mm-hmm.
I went to my friend's house the other day. This is so like, I like this sentence. I went to my friend's house and I made collages. It's very, takes me back. But yeah, talking about like having a bunch of images on pieces of paper that are coming from different origins and then putting them all on the same page, making them kind of convey the same message. It's very, it's funny. Like the people I know who, side note, who like do collages are both Aquariuses. I wonder what that means, but like I think there's so much like floating around in space to integrate, and like yeah, collages like kind of are an artistic mechanism of like bringing everything that you've felt and observed, or a lot of things you've felt and observed, and putting them together on the same page so that they can be like a tangible item. That's kind of how I think about them. But
yeah, man, yeah. I think similarly. I also think like what's cool about a collage is you can take like kind of a like less central part of a piece, cut it out and make it, you know, the middle of something else. You can take something like in your, you know, sources, and you can cut it up so that you make the image say something entirely different, or you can cut it up so that something that was kind of just like a random little feature of the background stands out and gets a new place. Yeah, collages are quite sick. What does that sentence take you back to, if I can ask?
Oh, I think I'm thinking about like kind of in a real sense, like the last time I had time like this, or I was filling it in the way that I am with like art and biking and like just doing silly things outside. I feel like I was a child.
Yeah.
You know? Like I, and like also in the way that I was like the last time I was doing all of these things without guilt and like feeling like I'm wasting my time was like childhood. Mm-hmm. And it's really good to return to that, like just need to create something. I've been thinking of art and like music as like just really vital components to my life and to life in general.
Mm-hmm.
That like there's, I was just talking about it on my radio show, but I'm gonna beat this horse to death about like, I don't know, if humans are like an earth, there's like 30% that is like, you know, observable on the surface and like in behavior maybe, but then there's like this 70% of like unexplored vast ocean that like also is like, we wouldn't be the same without it, and we understand it way less, and like you can take out different sections of it and like interpret it, and like you can really get to know some parts of like, you know, your ocean, and others will kind of be unexplored, but you can still like deal with them as they like surface. But I think art is about like that other 70%, and music is about that other 70%. Like it's like energetics and stuff that like you can't always like really discern like what parts of you are saying what, but you can feel it, and I don't know, whatever you feel like produce like through the filters on the surface. It's like this whole metaphor I have been thinking about, but
yeah,
I think art is so important, and so is music, and music as art, I guess, to describe like the intangible things that we all experience like literally constantly and can't escape.
Yes, all the time. When you were saying that, the image, which was kind of more of like a little movie that came into my head, was like a geyser. You know, it's like there's like all of this stuff bubbling and boiling on the inside.
Yeah.
And then it's like sometimes in art or sometimes in other contexts, it all just kind of like sprays up and it makes this really beautiful arc, and then it all goes back into the surface. But I guess it also, what it does is it like waters the surface of the planet, you know, like all of the plants that are growing on the outside that we're more like familiar with and can see, they all get nourishment from it too.
No,
you know,
so true. Like the land depends on the sea depends on the land, you know, to have a bottom, and everything is very like, it derives like, maybe getting slightly tangential to art mediums, but like land kind of, it gives meaning to water in the way that like water gives life to land, and like, you know, there's everything kind of builds off of each other and is like in building off of each other. Like, I don't know, these things are bound and everything's all connected all the time.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that just reminds me of a line from that Leonard Cohen song where he's talking about like the distance between two people, like moving back and forth, mm-hmm. like the shoreline and the sea. Like the shoreline and the sea.
Yeah.
It's a great song. And
wait, what is the song called?
It's called That's No Way to Say Goodbye.
Okay.
By Leonard Cohen. And yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that takes us directly back to what I wanted to talk mm-hmm. about too, because, you know, I was reading this silly little book that my friend left in my bag, Staying with the Trouble by Donna Haraway.
Oh, cool.
Hanging out, waiting for Syrah at South Station.
Nice.
And I was reading this one chapter where she's talking about symbiosis, and kind of talking about how biology has this idea of the individual that isn't really true. There's just kind of, you know, we're not really individuals per se. We're constantly making each other, making with each other, and through that process coming into our own. And that's what I'd like to sort of highlight on this podcast is, you know, I'd like to talk about people's processes of making and bring them more into collaboration and make it more of a process of making with. So people who are, you know, kind of along parallel tracks can come onto one and realize, or maybe not realize, but just kind of like, you know, find their placements with each other. Shoreline in the scene.
So cool. I think I've been having, like, I don't know, maybe parallel but similar thoughts of, like, I don't know, there's really nothing separating any of us, and like I guess on Earth, and like, you know, our atmosphere is full of matter as well, even though it's like you can move your hand through air, but I mean, you're still in contact with some things, and like there's nothing like, we're all also thinking about how, you know, we're made of the same stuff as stars, or like, yeah, you know, at the atomic level we're all atoms. And yeah, I mean, space is a vacuum, sure, but there's like, you know, I don't know that we'll ever really truly be able to discern that, like, we are separate from everything that's in, you know, the cosmos and stuff. And like, that's like a grand scale, but like, I think in the same way you can't really prove that, like, there's like 6 degrees of freedom or something, or degrees of freedom, like degrees of separation of like each person. It's like I'm 6 relations away from like anybody on Earth. Mm-hmm.
It's like that Kevin Bacon number.
Yeah. But you know, it's just so crazy. And then it's like, I think a feeling that's kind of been not overwhelming, but like just this sense of like people are operating with a lot of separatism, or just like, I think in mental health as well, or just like you really start to come down into your own world and like really cut yourself off from like just the overwhelming connectivity around you. And I think that like the way that everyone is so connected and bound all the time, I think it can be overwhelming if like you haven't really sat with that yet, if that makes any sense.
Yeah
But yeah, I think so. You've been oil pasteling, mm-hmm. And oil's a really cool medium, but are you thinking about this sort of deriving meaning from one another, or like like using material? Do you have other friends that are also doing oil pasteling, or is this just like a Bridget moment?
Mm. Yeah, these are good questions.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say, you know, but I did misspeak. It's soft pastels.
Soft pastel purr.
love them. And what's funny is all of my art materials right now are borrowed, which is nice. And one of them, so the pad that I work on is from Wanzie. Mm-hmm. Love to that guy. He's probably asleep. And he gave it to me when we moved out of the house that we lived in together mm-hmm. at the end of the semester. And it was like, I kept borrowing it from him, and he kept being like, okay, like, just don't use too much of it.
Yeah.
And then he just gave me the whole pad, which was really nice.
I love when that happens.
Love. And then the pastels themselves are from Syra, and they just had so much art supplies during the move, mm-hmm. which, talk about like a collective process. That move yeah. was like crazy.
It was,
like,
was so symbiosis for yeah. all of those listening. It was so...
For like three days.
yeah. You guys were an absolute like hovering force about it. It was really cool to see.
It was awesome. Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah. And we were in your house, you know, we were taken apart
yeah.
at home.
But yeah, yeah. So weird to like, moving always really sends me somewhere because it's like removing your presence from a space.
Yeah.
But then your presence is what follows you and not the space. It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's crazy too because all of these houses, which are so collective, I'll just say like mm-hmm. really quickly for context, which this isn't even that contextual, yeah. but to try and give context.
No, like, please do.
I was standing outside of the radio station. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the cars drive by and I was like, why does every single person need a car? And why does every single person need a home for just their family
unit? I know.
It's crazy.
I've been thinking about, like, people will be lined up or, like, biking through traffic and stuff. It's like people are right next to each other for, like, 5 minutes at a time. Mm-hmm. And they could never speak to each other, but they are right next to each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know, I will say I have a funny story, mm-hmm. which is that yesterday I was like driving through downtown, which was like kind of a horrifying
like
experience.
Like driving or biking?
Driving no, a car.
Absolutely not.
There was some
too
guy
brave.
Who like looked at me when I was trying to cut into his lane and he gave me like a nope. And then the truck right behind me like let him and I passed him and I went over on the right side and then I gave him a look like, hey, I did it.
I'm so like, if I'm driving and I'm like, the directions are like, you need to turn here, but I'm like a lane over, like I will simply keep going straight. Oh, like no. I don't, and then it'll like take me 30 more minutes. That's fine. I just like, I cannot, I get way too stressed, but that is mad brave.
Thanks. Yeah, but coming back, yeah, separatism, individual cars. Yeah, people could all just be on one bus. That's something I think about. But how did this go back to the oil pastels or the soft pastels?
Yeah, or it's like you've shared materials from other people yeah. and like that is so, that's one way of like building meaning off of one another.
Yeah.
It's like the same materials have been used to create something else maybe or yeah. like, yeah. What about like what you're drawing? Is it kind of like, I totally draw without aim or purpose
right.
like most of the time and yeah. like I literally will just put things on a page and I was like, this doesn't really look like anything, but it is like escape. It's something like, I just like to see whatever depiction is being produced. But are you like drawing anything in particular? Is like,
no, I draw pretty much the same way.
Yeah.
I like to like let my hand kind of explore shapes.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
So a lot of the time I was actually showing them to my friend's mom like on FaceTime and she was like oh, that looks like an amoeba. Another amoeba. It looks like a bunch of really random biological shapes. But I just kind of, but then the other day I was doing it and I was just kind of like, you know, I like to do it in the evenings
yeah.
on like a quiet night. It's been raining a lot.
It has
sitting
been
on
so
my couch.
Rain.
And I'm just like doing my little amoebas. Mm-hmm. And I sort of did it long enough and with like enough different colors that I was like, it just like took its own course after mm-hmm. a time. And then I like didn't look at it for a while talking to Syra and I look back and I'm like, oh my God, there's like a lion on this sheet of paper that like I didn't really draw, but just kind of like made itself through
wow.
the process of my hand moving.
Yeah.
And then I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, it's right there. And then I took like a black pastel and I was like, okay, I'm going to make the eyes and I'm going to make the nose and I'm going to make give him whiskers. And then there he was, a lion. That's probably my most finished drawing.
Dang. That's so... I don't even, like... Sometimes I think, like, art doesn't have to speak about the internal world, but, like, the way... If any of your internal world is saying lion, like, what does that mean? But also, it doesn't have to mean anything. Like, in that moment, you just did something so cool. Just, like, from the subconscious.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah. Yeah. But it's crazy because lion actually means a ton to me. Like, so yeah. A ton. My grandfather's.
Wait, please, lore.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of lore. Also, I think my mom's listening, maybe. So, hey, mom. This is. So, Lionel was my grandfather, my mom's dad.
Yeah.
Lionel Finkelstein. And awesome. We always called him, you know, like the lion. He had like a lion ring.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just kind of like his animal, like his motif.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. Like, I think the last like few years, I don't know. I just feel very connected with him, even though mm-hmm. I wasn't of the cousins most closest to him.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while now, I've wanted to get like a lion tattoo. I think my, like, hair has been getting kind of bigger.
Yeah.
And that, to me, feels very lion and, like, mane-like. And, yeah, I think they're wonderful, wonderful creatures, and they connect back to my family. And, yeah, yeah.
That's the awesome. Lion. That's so cool. Yeah. I think, that is such a cool, I hope you keep that artwork forever and frame it and just hold on to it. I think that's so important. I don't know that I've ever had a moment like that where I've been drawing. I'm like, this is something. It's like, I can kind of twist and turn it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Is it like a green lion, or is just like the colors just sort of came out however they did?
Yeah, the colors.
Like, I'm imagining, like, I'm not really sure what I'm imagining.
Yeah, I'll have to, like, show you or something. But it's, it's funny. I just looked at Garfield, but.
Yeah, there are a lot of those.
Is that from, is that from Georgia Moore?
I believe so. I have, at the Palestine Solidarity concert, right. I got one of those little Garfields. I have an emo Garfield, but then I left it in the sun, so now it's, like, a little pale.
That fits the, like, emo thing, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It definitely does. Real quick, because it is 837 core.
Mm-hmm.
I might find a little PSA. There's a public transit versus walking.
Oh.
PSA. That feels kind of relevant. I feel like you walk a good amount.
Yeah.
I was so happy yesterday when the sun came out, or it's like it has been quite rainy, and I do like my rainy days and moments. But I don't know. I don't. It's okay that it's been rainy, but yeah, it's been quite the transitionary June, you will.
Yes, yeah. You can say that one again.
Yeah, it's been.
You can say that one again.
A lot, but anyways.
All moving towards good.
Yeah, all moving towards good, but it's definitely like, you know, the earth, myself included, or just a lot of things, like I think the rain is cooling them off and like just washing some things out if it needs to be that way, or also, you know, rain can mean so many things. The weather's been kind of wigging me out, honestly, but
yeah it is kind of wiggy. I think mostly it's been keeping me more kind of like satisfied doing quieter activities,
definitely
staying in with people that I care about and just hanging out with them instead of trying to run wild.
So
maybe that's been good.
Yeah, I feel like I've been working a lot and then just coming home, and I don't want to feel bad about, like, not really doing too much, because it's like, you got to recharge in whatever way makes sense to you. I think doing art, being with people you love, like, that's really it.
Right, so. Man. Yeah, that's what the kids are about.
Most definitely. Okay, real quick, just for professionality purposes. Right. I'll read this little PSA about public transit versus walking.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. If you take public transportation, good for you. You're helping save the environment and money, too.
Mm-hmm.
But if you aren't getting all the exercise you should be, you might want to consider walking directly to your destination instead of using public transit.
Just think about it.
Yeah. Depending on the distance, once you wait, factor in the time it takes to make your way to the T stop, wait, and then you find your final destination from the station. Walking can often be faster. And even when it isn't faster, you know, the walking part, you're getting good exercise, you know, meditating a little bit, saving even more money, you know, with your own 2 feet.
Yeah.
For example, if it takes 45 minutes to walk where you want to go instead of 30 minutes using the T, you'll get 3/4 of an hour of exercise and fresh air for just an extra 15 minutes of your time. And that's a real healthy deal.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. This has been a public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. You know, I do love a good walk in the summer.
Yes.
And I do love giving up on the public transit because I do it so much.
Right, right. And the thing is, when you're on public transit, like, I mean, I love a good bus. The 96 bus, love that thing. But if you're taking the T, you're, like, underground, kind of in smog.
Yeah.
And I think, like, something that's nice about this time with the rain is kind of, like, if you can do things a little bit more slowly, but, like, in a much more, I don't know, in just, like, a nicer way, you know. That's kind of the route that I've been seeking more than just kind of like the fast and the furious.
Yeah, I think also like when it's raining and you have to go outside, it kind of forces you to be mindful of like your comfort and, I don't know, being all present and putting on the rain gear and getting the umbrella and like all the tasks of getting out the door. And something like not that, yeah, I don't know. The other day, this is a side note, but kind of like on the note of being present in the body when you're moving and stuff. I've never skated on a skateboard in my life. Like, it's so hard and like scary to me. But then like, one of my housemates like is a skater, if you will, and was trying to show me some of the ropes. But anyways, like I was trying to like, you know, move, like just literally stand, and it was so hard, but also like I was really aware of my feet for like a time, or I've just never done that before. It was like being having an awareness of like this lower little part of my body, and it's like controlling so much about how I'm moving in this moment. I don't know, your feet take you so many places, but I rarely think about where they're going.
Yeah.
Which is like,
yeah,
why do I even need to think about that? But also it's a different kind of present awareness when you do think about every corner of your body and being. So
yeah, I mean, I think I think about my feet a lot, and I do think this also goes back to art, because I think art a lot of the time is kind of just like letting your body kind of create and not really super actively employing your mind.
No expectations.
Right, no expectations, and not even, you know, like I think it, especially when you're writing, like trying to say a particular thing, I think kind of like muddles what's actually, you know, kind of subconsciously just like appearing and being said. I think sometimes I think a lot about like where I go at what particular time, which I think is just part of being in something so fast paced. But a lot of the time I'm like, fuck it, like I'm gonna let my feet decide, and I'll like stop trying to make the decision, and I'll just be like, okay, like let my feet kind of like walk on for me. And if I start to walk one way and then my body turns back the other way, it means I actually didn't want to go that way. And I think, yeah, sometimes I look down at my legs and my feet and I'm like, oh my God, like, thank you so much.
Yeah.
All the time, these guys are just working to get me places.
Like, absolutely. I feel so, moving is so special. Or like, I'm really happy that I have a bike now. And like, being your own car, if you will. The hills are like unbearable, I will say. Like, going home, like, and just going straight uphill, not chill.
Been there.
Yeah, but like being able to pick yourself up and plant yourself in a new context, and then like sing a new song or something. And
super collage.
Yeah, super collage. I love having that autonomy of transport, and it's like very integral to like, I don't know, my kind of sense of self, where it's like feeling like I can move when I need to, or
yeah
interesting stuff.
Yeah, well, that's like brings up some super interesting questions. I'll say that like yesterday I went to go see my little sister who goes to school at Brandeis.
Nice.
And we went to go, oh, you met her.
Yeah.
Nelly. Yeah. We went to go get her a bicycle because she wants to be able to ride around. And, you know, I don't think she's super enjoying Brandeis, so I think this bike is going to, you know, help her, give her more places to go other than
important
hanging out in Waltham.
Yeah.
And Yeah, I mean, I think the bike is a really interesting example because, like, it can be something that's, like, you know, very sort of, like, individualistic and, like, give you the power of locomotion.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of, like, yeah, it can take you to work. It can take you to your friend's house before the party. Mm-hmm. It can take you back to your own house so you can change before you have to go to the party.
Yeah.
But then it can also be, like, such a thing that delivers you to people, mm-hmm. or a thing that, you know, like, I used to always go on bike rides with my family, or my yeah. friends all bike to the ICA on the Somerville Community Path, or mm-hmm. even just hanging out with Daria the other day, what I did was bike with her to work.
Yeah.
So I don't know, it feels, I guess being in a car, you can also get that kind of, like, feeling like you're in, like, a little bubble together, but I think bikes are nice because they're more kind of, like, permeable. Like, you're
so true.
You're really in the environment. You're feeling the wind. You're feeling your legs pedaling. And then you can be using it to bring yourself to people or get yourself to some different people.
No, totally. I think also, yeah, I feel like on my bike rides to work, it's, like, very, sometimes I'll, like, have music and others I, like, won't, or the other days, or the days where I don't have music, I'm, like, especially, like, you know, not only listening to the cars around me, but, like, also it's really quiet. Like, no one's talking, like, early in the morning or kind of even in the afternoon. It's like I'm biking past people and it's quiet. And, you know, all you can kind of hear is the cars. And then, like, sometimes there's music going on in the cars and sometimes they smell. And, like, it's, yeah, it's kind of dizzying how much. Yeah, the biking and, like, the cars are really sending me that it's, like, so you're encapsulated and separate from other people. But, like, I think we're just so, I think especially, I don't know, it feels like in Boston maybe, or just, I don't know, it's just, there's the sharing of space is so, everyone wants their own space.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone, not everyone, like, there's just such discriminate access to, like, your own bubble and, like, privacy. And but also, where did the need for all of those things originate? And, like,
yeah
complicated yeah. stuff. But I feel like biking feels kind of, I don't know, it feels radical to an extent in that it's, like, it's got its little nuances to it, but
sure.
Yeah, I mostly just feel like my own car, and that's a cool feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like an armored little vehicle driving around.
Exactly.
Pumping up some music whenever you want it.
Yeah, the music and the biking. I had, like, had over the ear headphones on one day, then, like, could not hear a car coming and, like, almost got hit by a car.
Oh my god.
Not good. So. Definitely, like, there's another PSA in there about, like, I don't know, being safe on a bike. Like, definitely do that. Definitely,
do
like,
that.
Wear a helmet.
Yeah,
and, like,
what? Definitely wear a helmet.
Boston
is gonna be
not
thrilled.
Chill. Yeah, yeah. Boston streets are not very.
No, drivers are not chill.
No, not at all. Well, what do you say we hear "Hey, That's No Way to Say Goodbye" by Leonard Cohen?
Yeah, man.
Because I've never heard that song.
Oh, you've never heard
no,
that song? Then
I don't
definitely.
Think so.
Yeah, throw it on.
Okay.
I mean, it's, like, a little bit sad, but it's a good song.
No, it's okay. It's like I need to learn new things. But
yeah.
All right. So I guess without further ado, here is "Hey, That's No Way to Say Goodbye" by Leonard Cohen.
I loved you in the morning. Kisses deep and warm, your hair upon the pillow like a sleepy golden storm. Yes, many love before us. I know that we are not new. In city and in forest, they smiled like me and you. But now it's come to distances, and both of us must try. Your eyes are soft with sorrow. Hey, that's no way to say goodbye. I'm not looking for another as I wander in my time. Walk me to the corner, our steps will always rhyme. You know my love goes with you as your love stays with me. It's just the way it changes, like the shoreline and the sea. But let's not talk of love or chains and things we can't untie. Your eyes are soft with sorrow. Hey, that's no way to say goodbye. I loved you in the morning, our kisses deep and warm, your head on the pillow like a sleepy golden storm. It's many love before us, I know that we are not new. In city and in forest they smiled like me and you. Not talk of love or chains and things we can't untie. Your eyes are soft with sorrow. Hey, that's no way to say goodbye.
That was Hey, That's No Way to Say Goodbye by Leonard Cohen.
I hope everyone enjoyed.
I definitely did. I will be adding it to a playlist. I kind of like the soft old songs, older songs.
Yeah, I've been feeling really folksy this summer. It's been a very folksy summer.
Yeah. Wait, what was I thinking about? Wait, now I'm looking at Leonard Cohen's discography.
Yeah, it's like good stuff. It's like good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're almost at the hour, and it has been an epic hour.
It's been quite the hour.
Yeah. I haven't really explored these depths of, like, it's a great conversation.
Great conversation.
Thank you for joining.
Yeah, man, of course. Just, like, some themes that came into my head, which I didn't write down, but I'm going to look through my diary anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I think we talked a lot about, like, movement and action, which is funny because we're just, like, you know, we're just sitting here chatting.
Yeah.
we talked a lot about the process of moving, bodily motion, as a way of, like, staying present. Donna Haraway had this fantastic quote about now.
I would love to hear.
I wonder if I'm going to be able to find it. I think it was... Oh, here it is.
Yay.
Okay. She's, like, talking about some crazy compounded Greek word that she made.
Real.
and she says, Kainos means now, a time of beginnings, a time for ongoing, for freshness. Nothing in Kainos must mean conventional pasts, presents, or futures. There is nothing in times of beginnings that insists on wiping out what has come before, or, indeed, wiping out what comes after. Kainos can be full of inheritances, of remembering, and full of comings, of nurturing what might still be. I hear Kainos in the sense of thick, ongoing presence. I'm going to end there, because then she used some crazy words. But, yeah, man, I mean, I think, like, something I wrote in the margins is it's always now.
It is always now.
Well, you know, we can't live in any other moment. So I think... now is a good time. to say there. I think there's, like, a lot on the horizon with this radio show. I'm really excited about bringing on more people and talking to them more about art. But I also think, you know, everything we talk about is tangentially or probably always very directly related to how it is that we make art and live our lives. So thanks so much for chatting with me, Nat, and thank you for having me on the air.
It has been
it's been a blast. Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot about how, like, my favorite spaces and conversation to occupy are the ones that, like, explore, like, I also surround myself with a lot of creative people, but, like, I for a long time didn't feel like I could, I don't know, let myself be creative. Like, I didn't think I was creative. I, like, even, like, my musical outlets are very controlled. Like, playing the flute is so, like, classically oriented and stuff.
But I feel the most free and human and happy when I'm able to, like, discuss these things in, like, I don't know, more philosophical detail. But yeah, I really like that quote, and thinking about just the part where, I guess, you know, in right now, there's nothing that's saying, like, you can't have the past or you can't have whatever lies ahead. I think it's just kind of saying, like, those spaces are inherently inaccessible, and all you have is, like, now. Mm-hmm. And it's all now. But complicated stuff to sit with, because I think humans are really, you know, literally we have memory mechanisms mm-hmm. to hold on to the past and, like, remember things and integrate them into our being and behavior. And then we have mechanisms of anxiety about holding the future mm-hmm. And all that could happen. But I think something that's been really grounding for me, and, like, I'm able to remind myself of, is, like, in the future, like, which is vastly unknown and uncertain, it's, like, that's where, you know, all the really terrifying things exist there, but so do all of, like, the joyful, super exciting, like, just every possible outcome, like, lies beyond. And right now, all we have to do is kind of just be open to whatever happens, and, like, you know, I don't know, I've been thinking a little bit about fear, or mm-hmm. kind of, like, exploring that sensation mm-hmm. in the body, or I was talking the other day about how, like, when you go through really big, huge, terrible, like, seemingly insurmountable things in, like, the outside world, or, like, I don't know, sometimes school feels really stressful, that's so fake, but, you know, mm-hmm. other moments of, like, deep insecurity in your personhood and safety and, like, all those things, like, surmounting those and then returning to your internal world, it kind of makes you feel like you can, I do think it helps in that, like, you can move through anything that comes your way. I don't know, I think the outside, like, mirrors the inside and, like, what yeah. your capacities are, but I guess basically what I mean to say, like, the same filter that processes fear from the outside world is, like, the same filter that's processing fear in, like, the inside world.
True.
And yeah, just thinking about that, and it's like, how were we conditioned to survive? How was I conditioned to survive? Mm. And yeah, I think my art, like, if I'm gonna be creating, I have a day off today, so mm-hmm. I might just do some little creating things. But yeah, trying to explore, like, yeah, been thinking about how, like, how can I fold, I mean, am I not, like, the embodiment of, like, the past folding onto the future into the present?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, how can I hold all of these things at once?
Yeah.
And I think you do that with art and the intangible and making noise and running around and also sitting still and just thinking and not doing anything. There's so much you can do.
Yeah, there really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about, like, you know, like, you have all of these different, or I have all of these different, like, mm-hmm. energies that are pulling me towards different tasks and outputs. And I sort of feel most present, I think, when I feel like each energy that I'm experiencing is being put towards, like, a new growth of it. And I think, like, art is one very, very capable, like, it can just hold so much. Mm-hmm. It can hold almost anything. And, you know, I think what you're saying about the outside mirroring the inside, I think, like, finding kind of just, like, a little patch of grass on the inside where you can, like, sit and observe mm-hmm. without such strong attachments.
Yeah.
I think, and just kind of, like, because I think those attachments, like, I don't know, like, put you in a very particular position, mm-hmm. you know? And really, we're all just kind of, like, floating through space.
Yeah.
So you can kind of just, I think, or I can, or anybody can, our listeners can, you know, just kind of observe and